Jeremiah chapter 4. We're going to read for probably the first 14 verses. Bible says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people in Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. At that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against him. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee?" Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word and just how it speaks to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would have tender hearts. Help us to be open and receptive to your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would, as we look forward to the rest of the morning with the cantata, I pray that you would bless that. And Lord, I know there's been a lot of hard work that has gone into that, and I pray that you would just help those that are participating in that. And Lord, I pray that above all, as we're in this Christmas time of year, that we would bring honor and glory to you and to your Son. And Father, I pray that we would just honor you this morning in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at Jeremiah. Primarily, we're going to look at verse number 3, Jeremiah chapter number 4, verse number 3. So if you look back at that verse with me this morning, the Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Now, everybody, this is a very familiar, everybody's probably heard umpteen messages out of this verse, but so I thought we'd just hit it again, all right? But we're going to look at this, break up your fallow ground. Now, if you would have went back through, we didn't read Jeremiah chapter 2 or chapter 3, but if you would go back to Jeremiah chapter 2 and chapter 3, God is basically pleading with the children of Israel to come back to him in the way that they used to be close to him when they were in the wilderness and when they fully relied on God. And you know, it's interesting, and Christians are this way too. And honestly, America is at this point. I've probably told three people this in the last 2 weeks, that you know the best thing for America right now is for an economic disaster. It is. An economic disaster would be the best thing for America right now. Now, nobody wants that. I don't really want that. But that would be the best thing for America. Because you know, the only time that when people are closer to God is when they aren't financially able to take care of themselves. And when Israel was not able to take care of themselves, and if you look at Jeremiah chapter number 2, you know, it talks about where God led them through the wilderness, and God led them where there was no people and where there was not a way or basically a road. And God said, okay, I'm taking care of you through here. And the children of Israel had to rely on God or they die in the wilderness. But then once they got to the promised land, and it was like, oh, we can do this ourselves. And so what did they start doing? They started making their own gods, and they started to worship the things, the works of their hands. And we see that in Jeremiah chapter 2 and chapter 3. And then the beginning of chapter 4, we see some different statements here. The Bible says in verse number 3, break up your fallow ground. Verse number 4, circumcise yourselves. Verse number 14 we looked at, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness. So God's challenging the children of Israel, you need to come back to me. You need to change these things. So we're going to look at this, break up the fallow ground. We're going to look at that statement basically this morning. And I want to challenge, especially the class that we're teaching here this morning. There is something wrong with this, but it's not an intentional thing, okay? And I want you to understand that. A fallow ground is not an intentional thing, I don't think. But the Bible says in verse number 3, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground." What's fallow ground, Brother Chad? Well, in this instance, fallow is used as a what kind of word? It's an adjective, okay? I'll just tell you. Break up your fallow ground. Now, fallow is describing ground, so it would be an adjective. All right, now there's two different ways fallow can be used. It can be used as a verb or it can be used as an adjective. Fallow basically means ground that has not been tilled for at least a year. Okay, ground that has not been tilled for at least a year. Okay, that's what fallow means. Now, if it's used as fallow as a verb, fallow could mean as we're going to fallow that ground. That means to till the ground, but not to seed it, okay? So we would go in and you could till the ground essentially to get rid of insects or perhaps weeds. So you're just going in to knock down the weeds, and that would be, we're going to fallow that ground. But in the adjective form, it's used as a descriptive as, okay, this ground has not been tilled for at least a year, okay? And it could be more. But it has to be basically a season, a growing season. This ground has not been tilled for at least a year. And so God says, hey, you need to break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. And I want to challenge you this morning. Like I said, you know, there is nothing foul. The ground becoming fallow, the ground didn't do anything. Does that make sense? It's not like it's, you know, it's just the ground decides it's going to become hard. Or the ground decides that it's going to have all these weeds. You know, if you go out here and a piece of ground is not tilled and is not cultivated and is not taken care of, what did God put Adam on the earth to do? To care for the garden, right? So if a piece of ground is not tilled, if it is not cultivated, if it's not nurtured, you don't have to do anything to it. Have you ever noticed in your garden that you don't have to get weeds to grow? They just kind of grow all by themselves. You know, it takes a lot of work to get a plant to grow. But you can till up a piece of ground and you don't plant. I mean, you could say, oh, I didn't plant any seeds on this piece of ground. And within what? Just a couple days, you've got weeds starting to come up. Well, you know what that is? You don't have to go plant weeds for weeds to grow. All right? Now, you know, some people... It kills me. Does anybody have bird feeders in here? If you do, I'm not mad at you. I'm just asking. Everybody's like, oh, what is he going to ask? Okay, bird feeders. This is what kills me, okay? We, farmers, spend millions of dollars killing weeds. Millions. Probably billions of dollars killing weeds. And then you've got people that go to the store and they buy thistle seed. Or, you know, most of the seeds that's in your bird mix are noxious weed seeds. So we go to the store and we buy bird seeds, or bird seed that's weed seed, and then we spread it everywhere. And then it kind of cracks me up. You know, you go to Rural King and you got bird seed in this aisle and Roundup in the next aisle. And it's like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, which is fine if you like finches. Finches, I think, like the thistle seed, so that's fine, but... I hate thistles, and I cut every one of them down. And I refuse to let my wife buy thistle seed for finches because it's like, I know I'm going to have 50 thistles in my yard. So we don't buy thistles. That was kind of a side note. But, you know, that's the way it is with ground, isn't it? You don't have to plant thistles for thistles to grow, okay? And you know what? In our hearts, we don't have to plant. It's not like you have to plant things for there to be things that crop up. And I'm not blaming anybody. It happens in my life. It's not like I'm going out and looking for sin. But sometimes there's just stuff that comes up. Bad attitudes. And we're going to talk about that just in just a little bit about breaking up your fallow ground. Because you know what, folks? If we don't constantly break that ground up, if your heart isn't constantly being touched by something, it will grow hard. Let me ask you, and you know, maybe everything's right with God, but when was the last time you made a trip to an altar? That's a fair question. Brother Chad, I can't kneel. Well, when was the last time, honestly, you knelt in your heart? Or is your ground, well, Brother Chad, I haven't gotten into anything. Well, that's not the point. Ground doesn't have to do anything to become fallow. All it has to do is not be planted for a year and not be tilled for a year. And it's called fallow ground. And God said, break up your fallow ground. God said, hey, children of Israel, you've been in the promised land. Let's say they've been in the I know they've been in there for a lot longer than a year. But God's basically saying, hey, you need to hit a reset button here. Break up your fallow ground. It's been a long time since this has been tilled. Go through and break it up. Get rid of all them weeds. Knock those weeds down. Break up the fallow ground. Let's go to Hosea chapter number 10. We're going to look at a few. Hosea chapter number 10. It's right after the book of Daniel. We've got one verse here the Bible talks about. Fallow ground. Bible says in Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Now that's a fascinating statement right there, period. That could be a whole lesson by itself. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Why? For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. This morning, I'm simply challenging you to look at your life. Look at your heart. How long has it been since you broke up the fallow ground? A year? Brother Chad, it wasn't too long ago where I was this close to God, and now it just seems like my heart's gone cold. You know, when pastor makes an announcement of things at church, I don't get excited anymore. Has your heart become fallow? Is it getting hard? And the longer the ground, the longer the ground is fallow, the harder the ground gets. Anybody know what hard pan is? Every once in a while, you have to take an implement and you have to go in and you have to tear out the hard pan, because most farmers, they only go 4 to 6 inches deep when they till. That's all the deeper they actually go. You know, the old days of moldboard plows are pretty much gone. But every once in a while, every few years, you got to take a ripper, and they're called rippers, and they'll go very deep because you get a hard pan. The soil can't drain right. Everything's messed up because the ground's not. But you know what? Sometimes we get that hard pan. And you know what? To get full potential, you have to have it ripped up. But Chad, that doesn't sound like a pleasant experience. Bingo. You're the winner. Sometimes it's not. Nobody likes getting. Remember what I've said this several times in here. Hold your heart in your hand and let your heart get affected by things. When was the last time that you were affected by a young person that was struggling? That you shed tears over a young person that was struggling? Well, they just, bless God, they just need to do what's right. Well, bless God, you need to do what's right. You want to be smart about it. These young people, they struggle a lot. They struggle a lot. When was the last time your heart got broke over one of them? They mess up. I mess up. But what we do, we get so focused on our life and we're not affected by anything. Well, I don't want to be hurt. You know what that is? It's fallow ground. And you know what fallow ground produces? Weeds. And if you're not careful, after a time, our hearts become hard, and then that's perfect ground. You know, it's really hard to grow good vegetables on ground that has never been turned. okay? Now, anymore, they've got no-till. No-till is a big deal. Everybody thinks that they can no-till. And there are some guys that are true no-tillers, and I'm just going to throw this out there. But most guys that say they no-till still till. They just don't like to call it that because they want to be considered a conservationist. But they still do it in some way. Okay? You know why? Because, okay, as much as they like to say that they can go in and they can, and they can. They can literally plant within inches of where they put the fertilizer. So they don't have to till the whole field. They can till an inch and plant their corn in that inch in a 100-acre field. Okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty neat that they can do that. But they also, I think it's coming back to bite them some too. Okay? Breaking up your fallow ground, you know, you can't be hard. Excuse me. You can't be hard and let that and expect to do anything for God. And eventually what's going to happen is going to just grow up. I was in some woods the other day. I mean, it was flat as it could be. And I asked, it was Brother Davis, he farms it. And I asked him, hey, what did that used to be? I mean, it's got some pretty good sized trees in it. He said it used to be a meadow. A couple hundred years ago, it used to be a meadow. Isn't that amazing? And all it took was, farmer said, well, I'm not going to work it this year, or I'm not going to farm that this year. And within just a few years, it can be completely grown up. Remember, it's not that, well, I'm planting trees here. You don't have to plant trees there. Trees will grow by themselves. You don't have to plant weeds there. Weeds grow by themselves. Brother Chad, how do I keep that from happening? Break up your fallow ground. It has to be broken. It's a cycle. Every year it has to be broken. Okay? And we saw in Hosea, God says, hey, break up your fallow ground so I can bless you, so I can rain righteousness upon you. And you know what? America needs to break up her fallow ground. We've gotten so hard. And you know, the only thing that I think can do it is, like I said, when America can't depend upon itself and you can't, you know, you don't have the money to go to the store to buy groceries that you need. Well, that don't sound very good. Yeah. Doesn't, does it? But a lot of people, I think, would turn back to God. All right. So breaking up the fallow ground. Matthew chapter 13. We have the story of the sower. And if you remember in Jeremiah chapter 4, I believe it's verse number 3, the Bible says to not sow among the thorns. So it said, break up your fallow ground, sow not among thorns. And if you go to Matthew chapter 13, we see the story of the parable. Remember, he it's like I was doing with salt this morning in the driveway. All right? I'm just taking it and chucking it. Okay, and where it falls, it falls. And he said, all right, there's some, it's going to fall on stony ground, and some's going to fall among thorns, and some's going to fall among good ground. Okay, and we see this parable. I'm just going to kind of skip through it. Verse number 4, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You know what it says when it fell by the wayside? You know what the wayside means? That means the path. And you know what paths are? It's like a road out here. It's hard. It was something that they don't till regularly. Okay, that was the path. You don't till the path, you keep the path. So that would be considered fallow ground. It was something that wasn't tilled. There were some that fell on stony ground. Now, if this was tilled, it wasn't able to be tilled very well because it was stony. Okay? But, you know, the Bible, and everybody likes this illustration. Oh, yeah, we need to have hearts that are soft. Well, hearts that are soft are hearts that have been broken. Hearts that can have the seed of revival sown in them are hearts that are broken by the plow of repentance. If you're not willing to break your heart over things, then God can't plant things in it. Okay? So you have to have your heart broken. Let me just say this. The cares of life harden your heart. You know, when the rain comes, every time it rains, the ground gets a little bit harder. It does. If it rains and it dries, it gets harder. And it rains and it dries and it gets harder. It rains and, you know, the rain comes every day. Or you can't stop the rain, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And you know what, folks? The cares of life, you can't stop them. You're going to have heartaches. You're going to have troubles. And if you're not careful, those things are going to make your heart hard. And I don't know what's going on in here this morning. Okay? I'm just teaching what the Bible says. Amen. But when that stuff comes, it's just going to harden it and harden it. Well, Brother Chad, I've served God for 40 years. 40 years of rain and rain and rain. And if there's never been a plow over it, you know what that is? Fallow ground. It's fallow ground. And for that to be productive ground again, it must be broken. It must be broken. Fallow ground naturally happens. And I don't want to come across as condemning, because you know what? In my heart gets fallow too. There's just some times when, you know, it seems like, you know, and honestly, it is the cares of this world that do a lot of it. You know, you sit in church and honestly, folks, if you listen to what pastor says, he could, 99% of counseling can be done from right here if what he said would be followed. Okay? 99%. There's a few exceptions, but 99% of it can be done from right here. But you know what? We sit back there, and I'm guilty of it too. I've had some stuff going on in the last couple of weeks. It's just frustrating. And I could sit back there, and if I wanted to, and some of you do it right now, are doing it right now, I guarantee it, because we are humans. You sit there and you think about all the cares of this world, and you don't let the plow come in and furrow deep. And we're guilty. The cares of this world, they consume our minds. Okay? So it just naturally happens. It's not like you're out sinning. I'm not saying anybody's out just blatantly. But if you're not careful, that little thistle will start. It starts as a little seed. It starts as just a little seed. And then it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. Let me say this. I want you to listen to this. And I wrote this down. And after I wrote it down, I don't think it was really... I'm not calling this inspiration, but I don't really come up with very good thoughts most of the time. So I thought this was pretty good. But if you don't use your heart, you lose your heart. Anything that's not used. How many used to play basketball? You wouldn't really feel whole. Most of the people that raise their hand aren't really feeling like going out and playing basketball today, I don't think. Why? Because you didn't use it. And so you know what? You lost it. And there's a lot of things like that in life. Honestly, everything. Ladies, if you haven't cooked something, maybe you've got this favorite dish that you like to cook, and you knew the recipe by heart. You didn't even have to look at the cookbook. But you didn't cook it. You didn't make it for, you know, if you haven't made me cookies for, you know, 3 or 4 months, you'll have to go look at the recipe to do it again. Everybody's like, what? No, I'm kidding. But you know, seriously, if you don't do it all the time, my wife's got a few things that kind of her quick meals when she's running short on time, and she don't have to look at the cookbook because she uses it all the time. All right? But the things that it's new or the things that she hasn't done in a while, you know what she has to do? She has to pull out the cookbook and she has to look at the recipe. Why? Because she lost it. She couldn't remember it. Okay? There's things that I've done before in life, that, you know, mechanical things that I know I took this apart. I know I did. I remember taking it apart, but I do not remember how this goes back together. I lost it. I didn't use it, so I lost it. Okay? And you know what? Our hearts are that way too. If the ground's not used, listen, if you don't use the ground, you lose the ground. It becomes fallow. It grows up, that piece of farm ground grows up into trees. Why? Because it wasn't used, so you lose it. And you know what? If you're not constantly using your heart, if you're not constantly being touched by something, I'm just challenging you this morning. Hey, don't be hard. When God speaks to your heart, don't be hard about it. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use your heart, you lose your heart. You lose your heart. Well, Chad, I just don't feel anything. I don't feel anything for these young people, for these young ladies, for these young men. I don't feel any compassion at all for them. You know what happened? You lost it. Because at some point you stopped using it. You stopped using it. So, you know, Brother Chad, how do I fix that? Remember what I said? The seeds of revival can't be sown in ground that has not been broken by the plow of repentance. You got to get right with God. That's the short and simple answer. I have to get right. You know what I have to do every once in a while? I have to go visit. You know, Brother Chad, when you did children's church, did you get upset with certain kids? Oh, wow. Absolutely. I could strangle kids sometimes. Not literally. But sometimes, I mean, they push you to the brink. And you know what? What was my heart? It was hard towards them. Brother Chad, what did you have to do? I had to go visit their house. I had to go visit their house. I had to look at the dump that they lived in every day. Not all of them, but 80% of them. I had to understand that their mom and dad did not have a happy marriage and was not a very good example. I had to ask them about how was school and understand that things at school were not good. You know what that was? I had to let my heart be broken. Did it feel good? No. But you know, you look at that young person a little bit different. A little bit different, you look at that young person. You know what that is? It's a simple way of breaking up your fallow ground. Remember, if you don't use it, if you don't use the altar, you lose it. Brother Chad, do you go to the altar every service? No. But I want to go often. Because I'm afraid if I don't go, then I'll lose the ability to feel like I need to go. And I don't want to lose that. I don't want God to speak to my heart and it be hard. I don't want that. Maybe you do. I can't help you at this point. I can't. You have to. You know what God said? God didn't tell the men of Judah and Jerusalem, I'm gonna come and break your fallow ground for you. Although he is about ready to send his best shot at it. You know what he says? Break up your. You know what that break up, you know what that means? Break is a verb. It has an understood, that's a command. So it has an understood you as the subject. You break up your fallow ground. Now, I'd rather me break my heart than God break my heart. You know, I got to be done because we got the cantata this morning. I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know, I'm trying to figure out how to say this correctly. But I don't want to hold on to something so much. I don't want to hold on to something so much that God has to take it from me. I was thinking about it with my kids. You know, I want God's will in my life and my kids. I do. But sometimes you kind of want to hold on to them too, I think. But I would be afraid of holding on to my child. And God said, all right, if you won't let them go, if you won't let them go, I will take them. You mean Brother Chad take their life? No, not necessarily. Sometimes taking things other than the life is worse than taking the life itself. Some things you got to live with. So I don't want that to happen in my life. God, I want to give this to you. And if I give this to you, I'm entrusting you with their care. God, I want to give you my heart. I don't want it to become fallow. I don't want it to become hard, because I'm afraid if I become fallow and if I become hard, I will never be used by God again. Because I have to break up my fallow ground. Because honestly, I'd rather do it than God do it. You know, I could go out into this field over here and I could take a tractor and a disc and I could make that. I always thought myself as almost an artist. Now, that may sound crazy, but with a 30-foot paintbrush. Because I can make a field. I know how to make the tool work for me to make that field look really good. And that field can look great after one pass with the proper tool, with the proper soil moisture. I can make that field look good. But I go back here where this is fallow, and I have to have a dozer and an excavator, and it's going to take a lot of tearing up and a lot of digging out roots and a lot of pushing stuff around and a lot of time before it'll ever look like that, because that's fallow ground. And it's going to hurt that ground a lot more if we let it go and it becomes fallow than if we take care of things when it's still close. So don't let it get fallow. Keep it tillable. Keep your heart tilled. And let it be soft and tender to what God has for us. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for your love for us. Help us to keep our hearts. Lord, as much as anything, this is for me this morning. God, I don't want my heart to get hard. I want it to keep it tender and in the center of your will. Lord, thank you for these people. Lord, I pray for the cantata that's coming this morning. I know there's a lot of work gone into it, and I pray that you just help all those that are involved in that. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.